All right, and welcome to another episode of Sports Bears, an insight into the business world of pro sports. Right, episode number 124. You're with your favorite host, Zila, aka Chester Mbekela. And yeah, today we've got an exciting episode, as always, man. You know, as always, I know it's very cliche, and I've said this before on the last 123 episodes, that, you know, today we've got an exciting episode. And I mean that. I mean that in the most possible way. Because, yeah, today we're actually going to mix it up a little bit, mash it up. You could say this is sort of like an impromptu episode where, you know, based on all the sporting content I've consumed, you know, the last couple of days, I decided, why not drop an episode on Sunday? You know, that's one of the beauties of this whole podcasting journey, man, is that sometimes it can happen where you just get inspired to create an episode. And once it's done, you just put it out there. You know, there's no set schedule. But you know, for the sake of consistency, though, I do always try to make sure that during the week, the episode either airs between Wednesday or Thursday. You know, all right. So, yeah. And for the sake of consistency, we'll always try to make sure that, you know, that timeline is always covered. But, you know, during the weekend, just always be prepared that an episode may drop. All right. But yeah, so we're going to mix it up a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit of Rugby World Cup. As I'm well aware, most people know by now that the two teams that have been confirmed for the final are none other than South Africa and the All Blacks, you know, New Zealand. So we're going to talk more a little bit about that and, you know, just a little bit of history, the rivalry between the two teams, because it's deep. It's hella deep. So make sure you stick around for that. And we'll talk about other sports as well. Like I said, we'll mix it up and we'll mash it up just a little bit. So stick around for that. And yeah, don't go anywhere. All right. See you guys after the break. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you think you might be feeling depressed, stressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp is here to help. I know, you know, from my personal experience, man, when I was an athlete, when I was a player, you know, there'd be times I would go through, you know, feelings of like stress and anxiety, you know, stress to perform, you know, stress to play well, to make sure you play for that next contract. And, you know, I really wish that I had, you know, certain like avenues to really vent and get out these frustrations and just have an objective party to talk to, right? BetterHelp, man, it's a platform that offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you through, you know, your tough time or whatever you're going through. Now, you're able to talk to your therapist in private, an online environment at your convenience. So it's literally therapy wherever you may be, you know. There's a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's 20,000 plus therapists network that gives you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you get matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Imagine that, under 48 hours. Then you schedule secure video and phone sessions, and then plus you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist, and everything you share is 100% and completely confidential, right? What I've found helpful, man, with using a platform like BetterHelp, again, you know, is just their response time, that if you're going through something, you're able to talk with your therapist and share it right there and then, you know. My therapist, Mark, is so efficient, and I'm really happy that I'm working with him. All right, and then you can actually also request a new therapist at no additional charge anytime if the current therapist that you matched with doesn't work out for you. All right, so you don't need to stress and feel like you're trapped with one therapist. You can actually request to change. So join the 2 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Special offer to Sports Bears from an Agent's Perspective podcast listeners. So you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. All right, that's betterhelp.com/KZMbekela. Mbekela. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. All right, and welcome back after that break. And as promised, yeah, heading into this segment of just talking nothing but sports from across the board. But before we get into that, we just want to give a further shout out to our other sponsors. Shout out to Nike. Thank you to them for, you know, just for consistently staying with us and for just the partnership and everything that I've been able to learn, you know, being in partnership with these guys. The shoe empire is one of the most intriguing things, man. And just to be affiliated with these guys has been nothing but an honor. You know, again, for the sake of consistency, and if you want consistency defined, you definitely have to look at Nike. You know, for as long as I've been alive and as long as I've known these guys, they've always delivered, you know, and you can keep checking out, you know, their fresh new gear for, you know, the fall line, their fall line or autumn line, and their spring line is available on the link that I will provide on the description of the podcast. You know, make sure you check that out. And yeah, you can qualify for certain discounts, but T's and C's do apply. All right. But use the affiliate link that I will provide to make sure that you can get some fresh new gear at Nike. Okay. And then thank you so much to MyProtein. You know, thank you to them for their support. We really appreciate it. And a further shout out as well to 365 Games. And both of these brands, their links to their online store will be provided on the description of this podcast episode as well. All right. Episode 124, man. We just keep going. We just keep going. Okay. Without further ado, let's get this started. So in talking about rugby, as you know, rugby's been on everybody's mind lately. It's been the number one topic. So in just looking at it, man, you know, I woke up early this morning to catch the England versus South Africa semi-final game, as that was the last game to confirm the last two teams that would be left in the Rugby World Cup. Everyone else has gone home. Everyone else is out. Everyone else is just chilling on the sidelines, enjoying the beers and enjoying the rest of the tournament. And I mean, Paris isn't the worst place to enjoy yourself, trust me. I lived there for, you know, a couple of months before actually leaving France after living in Toulouse. And I can tell you right now, the Parisian lifestyle, man, the nightlife in Paris, it's pretty sick. Especially if you hang out with like a local, a person from there, you know, they're able to show you the most awesome places to hang out, man. It's a very cultural city. You know, rich in French culture. I guess it's the city that sort of gives you like the background of what, France was like back in the day. Like I'm talking hundreds of years ago and stuff like that. They've been very good in preserving their culture in that, you know, in that aspect. The French Parisian lifestyle, very laid back. France is a very laid back country in general. So you can really get to enjoy yourself. You know, but anyway, we're not here to talk party time and everything. We're here to talk business. All right, so these last two teams that are left, the Springboks and New Zealand. Wow. I'd be lying if I said that I was surprised by the whole thing. But I'm really not surprised, man. I'm really not surprised. And I think credit to New Zealand, firstly, because we'll talk about them first. I didn't watch the full game of their game against Argentina. I actually caught the highlights, but I mean, I feel like I caught the most important part of the game, and that was highlighting, you know,
the All Blacks, you know, phases of play and what led to them, you know, how they scored their tries and so forth. And look, credit to them. New Zealand are New Zealand. They're going to do what, you know, the All Blacks do, which is, you know, play an exciting brand of rugby, running rugby. And credit to them for peaking at the right time, if you know what I mean, you know. If anything at that, that's how you would describe their performance, that they literally peaked at the right time. Because prior to that performance against Argentina, they were looking, you know, very shaky. They were looking vulnerable. So credit to them. And I'm sure, you know, that kind of victory is going to give them the confidence that they need going into the final. For them to just believe that, you know what, fuck it. We're just going to close this tournament out and we're just going to take it home back to our little island of New Zealand. But on the flip side, I am disappointed at Argentina, you know. The Argentines are known to play, you know, brutally physical rugby. They're known as that team, as much as they went into the semi-final as the underdogs versus All Blacks. But Argentina are known to be a team that stands back for nobody. You get what I'm saying? We've seen them, the way they play in the rugby championship, because they play, you know, with South Africa, with New Zealand, with Australia. So they never back down from these teams. But what I saw in that semi-final, man, they just really looked like an Argentine team that was just literally afraid, so to speak, you know? They really did seem afraid. And I was very disappointed at that, because I expected, you know, a bigger performance from them. I expected more of a fight from them. You know, I don't know how you guys feel, because I really do feel like they they made New Zealand to be superstars, bigger superstars than what they actually are. Because when you compare All Black teams, this one that's playing at this tournament is by far the lowest, like when you compare all the other All Black sides that have, you know, entered the tournament and stuff like that. So yeah, but not to discredit New Zealand, but that's just how I feel, man. This All Black team does nothing for me. I'm not afraid of them. And as much as, yes, South Africa beat them in the warm-up games, listen, that means nothing. Warm-up games mean nothing. This is the game that counts, you know? So for me, going into this final, I'm definitely not going to sit there and make it seem like, and basically base off my faith in the box winning the World Cup, you know, based on a warm-up game that they played against New Zealand, where they were able to really, you know, blow them out the park and just really, you know, give them a run for their money, you know. But then again, I do think that the box will draw a bit of confidence from that, because it's one of those things where they're going to be like, listen, guys, we know what we can do when we really, you know, band together and just really take the game to them. You get what I'm saying? But yeah, I think we're going to talk more in terms of, in terms of what the box, I guess, could look at in terms of facing off against New Zealand in a later episode leading up to the game. But for now, you know, it's just really good for South Africa that they're able to reach their second final in, you know, in two consecutive World Cups. I don't think the box have ever done that, where they went back to back into finals, you know. So this is going to be an incredible opportunity for, you know, the Springboks to potentially defend the World Cup. You know, I think New Zealand's the only team that's ever defended the World Cup. I think when they won it in 2011, and then they won it again in 2015. But prior to that, you know, the World Cup, I don't think it had ever been defended, you know. So yeah, I mean, exciting. Really, really, really exciting. What a time, you know, what a time. And like I said, you know, this World Cup means a lot to the people of South Africa. It really does mean a lot. You know, with everything that's currently happening, man, back home, the Springboks do provide that glimmer of hope, you know. And I mean, things will be okay. Things are going to get better for sure, you know, with our current, you know, political climates and everything. But yeah, the Boks, for the longest time, they've been our glimmer of hope. And I guess our biggest pride when it comes to dominating in the world of sport, you know, because when it comes to producing rugby talent, there is no country like South Africa. Honestly, there isn't. You know, when you look from our school board structures to our club structures to our university structures, we've got it on lock. You know, we really do have it on lock. And that is pretty much why South African rugby players are always in demand worldwide. It's basically because of what the Springboks continuously do. You know, it literally is based on what the Springboks continually do. Because all of that trickles down to show the rest of the world what South African rugby players are like. So when a South African is looking for an opportunity abroad, people immediately think Springboks. You know, they are so dominant. So if this guy's from that country, he must be good. You know, so shout out to the Boks, man. And yeah, I'm behind the Springboks all the way. I'm not one of those South Africans who supports New Zealand. I don't give a fuck about New Zealand. I'm not from New Zealand. I respect their brand of rugby. I've loved a lot of their players that came through their systems. You know, I was a big Jono Lomu fan. I was a big Joe Rokothoko fan. I was a big, you know, Carlos Spencer, Christian Cullen, Jeff Wilson, like, you know, Rico Gear, Jose Gear. Who else was I a big fan of? Ben Atinga, you know, those guys. Ma'a Nonu. Sonny Bill, here and there, you know, here and there. I wasn't too big into the whole Sonny Bill hype, but I do feel like he was an exceptional player as well. Israel Dagg, you know, I've always loved their style of play, you know, because it was basically how I played the game of rugby as well. You know, I love running rugby. But in terms of supporting them in this final, hell no. There's no way I'm back in New Zealand. I don't care whether the Springboks win or lose. I'm going to support them every time when they come up against the All Blacks. Because the history behind those two teams is deep. The tradition, you know. I've been watching these two teams go at it. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. The World Cup 95, I saw snippets of it back in 95. You know, I remember we were in Cape Town at the time. Yeah, we were in Cape Town. Or Kwanzisi, I'm not sure. But I saw snippets of it, but I just saw like my dad and the family friend of ours, Umandu, when they were just celebrating, saying, yeah, you know, the Springboks have won. And I was like, what's going on? And I remember my older brother as well running outside and jumping up and down that the Boks are the champions. And I'm like, why are you guys so happy? What is this? You know, that was back in 95. So I didn't really watch that game. I didn't understand what was happening. But the 99 World Cup I watched, you know, and prior to the 99 World Cup, I was also, that's when I also started watching the Tri Nations, you know, that's when it was Tri Nations. Because that year, that was actually my introduction to rugby. And then in 2000, like that's when I really started getting stuck into even watching Super 12, Tri Nations and so forth and so forth. Like, it was just rugby right through the year for me. And I remember one specific game and where I just really got inspired to really take this rugby thing, not seriously, but to just really have a go. I remember the Boks were playing against New Zealand in South Africa. I think the game was in Ellis Park. Yeah. And it was such a high scoring affair. I remember Tana Umaga scoring a brilliant try. And then Andre Snyman scoring right after, and he broke his ankle while scoring a try. You know, I just remember being so inspired that, yes, this guy, he literally sacrificed himself to get points on the board for the Springboks. You know, and then I remember Brayton Palser also scoring it. Like, it was such a high scoring affair. And then the Boks ended up winning that game because I think we won it. We won 46-40. I remember it was one of the highest scoring games, and it was an epic match. You know, so from then on, like, I started to see just how deep, you know, this rivalry between the All Blacks and the Springboks are, that two teams could go head to head and just, you know, literally fight until the 80th minute. You know, so, and then from then on, man, it was just, yeah, I always looked forward to watching us go head to head against the All Blacks. Obviously, as history would have it, New Zealand have beaten South Africa more times than the Boks have beaten the All Blacks. So I guess they've got that on their side, you know, when you're looking at it from a historical perspective. But no, we've edged them a couple of times when it really matters most, you know. So, yeah, I'm really hoping that this is going to be one of those times. But yeah, it's always a special game. And there's a lot of respect between the two nations, you know. A lot of respect between the two nations. And I think that's what makes the rivalry against New Zealand that much special. Is because while there's a lot of respect between the two nations, we don't hold back when we play against each other. You know, I look forward to a lot of matchups. You got Siya Kolisi versus Ardie Savea. And I mean, I was actually reading a post where it said those guys are actually very good friends. So to see them going head to head against each other. And actually, Ardie Savea said in a post that, you know, Siya and I are such good friends. Before every single Springbok and All Black game, we catch up for coffee or dinner or whatever, and then on the day, as much as we're friends, he's like, the player that I want to smash the most on the field is Siya, you know. So just, you know, those mind games is what you appreciate. But it's all in good spirit, you know. Tempers will flare up high, I'm sure. You know, guys are going to want to take each other's heads off, but you know, it meant that at the end of it all, it's nothing but love and respect between the Springboks and the All Blacks. So we look forward to it. We look forward to it. All right. All right. So that is the rugby talk. You know, that is the rugby talk. And now just looking at the football. Again, I read somewhere in, I think it was the MLS website, where it read that Inter Miami FC are actually going to have their first Asian tour. I guess after the season has concluded, after the MLS has concluded, and they will be coming to China, you know. And, you know, I really must commend, man, how business savvy David Beckham and the ownership group of Inter Miami FC are, because those guys realize that in having a marquee player like Lionel Messi in the team, this is the best time ever for the club to tour, especially, you know, a market like China, where Lionel Messi is already, I mean, this guy's a global superstar. So to have him in China is going to be an amazing opportunity for the Inter Miami FC brand to really, you know, expand their reach, you know, and to obviously establish relationships, you know, with maybe a partner club in China. Now, these are the brilliant and magnificent, you know, opportunities that touring provides for teams. You know, it's not just about, you know, playing on the road. And obviously, all those things do count as the total package of it all. You know, going on the road with the boys, bonding with your teammates, getting to test yourselves against, you know, a foreign market in terms of competition. And then also getting to network with other players, getting to network with the team execs from the other, from the foreign market club, you know, all of those things. And then obviously from a business and commercial perspective, this is an amazing way for Lionel Messi to basically, you know, penetrate the Chinese market, you know, to grow his brand in the Chinese market. Because I'm pretty sure, just like he's done in America, man, he's going to be playing with guys who, after the game, are going to be asking for his jersey number. We're going to be asking for his autograph. We're going to be asking for a selfie, you know. And then obviously, I'm sure This is also going to create an opportunity for him to meet up with certain companies and brands, you know. So from a commercial perspective, it's definitely a win-win. For Inter Miami FC and David Beckham and them, it's also going to grow, you know, the club's notoriety. Because Inter Miami FC is a fairly young club. They joined MLS in 2020. So they need all the outside exposure that they can get in order to grow their brand. You know, and that is, yeah, that's pretty much the business aspect of it, man. A lot of opportunities for this tour. I'm definitely looking forward to hearing how it fares out, how they do in China. It'll definitely be interesting to hear, you know. Wow, but yeah, where to go to a market that's really going to catapult and just take these guys' brands to the next level. And I mean, again, just because I'm talking about Lionel Messi doesn't mean that I'm ignoring all the other superstars that, you know, that play in the Inter Miami FC team. I mean, you've got Busquets as well, who's going to be there. And then you've got American local talent that's going to be able to, you know, sort of like expand their reach into the Chinese market, you know. Because, I mean, as it stands right now, China's sort of like become this closed off market where they just like, they've just closed themselves off from the world and they're just doing their things. But all I'm hearing is that if you travel to China, man, you can really see the things that they're doing over there. So I don't think it's any surprise that they've sort of like closed themselves off a little bit, because they're just making sure that their local companies are really able to reach the next level and just reach levels that, you know, people have never seen before. I think till this day, China is the country with the most billionaires. And I think most of them come from Shenzhen, you know. Those are the countries, those are the cities that are really coming up. You know, your companies like Tencent and stuff like that. So there's a lot of, you know, business that's happening in China right now. So definitely for Inter Miami to be touring at a time like this is actually perfect for them. And I mean, the Chinese Super League as well is in its process of recovery. In fact, it has recovered. Man, it just goes back to, you know, listening to the media sometimes is never the, you know, it's never a great idea, because the narrative that was painted was that the Chinese Super League was an absolute failure. And then it took me to actually do my own research to actually find out that no, the league has not collapsed. The Chinese Super League is actually continuing. However, the government decided to put a cap on the amount of money that the clubs can pay marquee players. Because I think before that, it was just getting absolutely ridiculous where guys were being offered, you know, hundreds of millions to play. I think the government was like, this is not sustainable, guys. So now I think, I mean, players are still making millions playing in China, but it's no longer, you know, they're no longer trying to compete with the European leagues where they're offering guys over 50, 60 million. I think the highest paid player right now is earning roughly, yeah, in the millions. I think it's like maybe 10, 15, 20. Or might even, yeah, I think the highest is earning about 10 or 12. But it's not more than 20 million US dollars per annum. That's still not bad, you know. But yeah, I had to do my own research for that, you know, where, you know, the Chinese media were releasing that, no, the league is still carrying on. It's just that it's no longer offering exorbitant amounts of contracts. But otherwise, how the Western media had basically labeled them was that it's a league that's fallen apart, it's collapsed, and it's no longer there. No, it's still there. The Chinese Super League is still operating. You know, they just had government intervention that started capping salaries. That's all. That's all. Which is the same as any other league. Any other league. All leagues have caps that have been put in place. So it's nothing new, you know. So yeah. So I think this will really be a great way for Messi as well to also sort of like uplift. Just having him associated with touring China and playing against, you know, Chinese Super League teams, I think this will be a great opportunity for the Chinese market to sort of attract more either foreign investors or more foreign sponsorships into their league. Now, whether those companies or brands are going to be allowed to sponsor that team or get involved, we don't know. But all I know is having a player like Messi visit and take the field, it's definitely going to draw a lot of interest and it's going to make a lot of money for the Chinese Super League just to have him as a visitor touring with his team from the US. You know, so great things, man, great things. And I always say this, that I wish, you know, a lot more African teams would also start doing these things of just going on tours, you know. And I know that I've said this in previous episodes, that the money is definitely there. Kaizer Chiefs definitely has enough money to plan a tour. Orlando Pirates definitely has enough money to plan an off-season tour, where they tour either America, or they tour Europe, or they tour Asia, just to come and, you know, expand the team's reach. Just to do that. And to also build relationships with clubs from other countries, you know, and, you know, also give the players an opportunity to also expand their personal brands as well. You know, I really wish they could do this. Your Sundowns, every single team that's able to be in the PSL and in the NFD definitely has enough funds to plan a tour. I don't care who says what. Coming to Asia is not expensive. It's not an expensive tour. You know, US might be a different story. Going to Europe is not an expensive tour. But I understand with the rand, you know, against the euro and the US dollar or the pound, maybe a little bit difficult. But still, if you're playing in the PSL or the NFD, you can afford to tour anywhere in the world. I don't care who says what. Those teams are bringing enough money in terms of sponsorships and from SAFA and from the TV rights to be able to plan such tours. It's imperative and it's important, man, because this is how you can get the team's valuation to go up, is when it's got a bigger brand. You know, I'd love to walk down the street somewhere here in Tokyo in Japan and see a kid wearing a Kaizer Chiefs t-shirt, see a kid wearing an Orlando Pirates t-shirt, see a kid wearing a Sundowns, Supersport, Moroka Swallows, you name it. You know? So yeah, man, come on. I'm calling out the SAFA bosses. I'm calling out the team owners in South Africa, that you guys have got to start doing this. You got to start planning tours. Not only South Africa, Africa in general. You got to start touring. This is how the European teams are able to expand their brands and their reach. This is how American teams are doing it as well. They've always been touring, and it's not only soccer that do this. The basketball does it as well. Back in the 90s, the Chicago Bulls in the off-season would travel to France in Paris in the off-season and play an exhibition game. And that was the way to expand and to increase their brand. That is how players like Michael Jordan were able to expand their brands as well. That is the power of touring. You know? So I expect to see a lot more tours, man. I expect to honestly see a lot more tours. But it's exciting, man. It really is exciting to see just how strategic, you know, team owners are in brand expansion. You know, it really is. It's inspiring to see. And I guess that is what makes the whole business aspect or the business side of professional sports so interesting to me, is because there aren't a lot of people who look at it from this perspective, and it's like, damn. And for me, to be honest, for my own personal experience, how I got to learn and to see this side of sports was when, honestly, when I started playing here in Asia. So when I played in Hong Kong, we went on an off-season tour to Malaysia and we played in a tournament over there, you know. And while this is happening, I'm busy thinking, you know, yes, we're here to play, but I'm seeing everything that's happening around. It was an event. It was eventful. You know, there was a lot of, you know, networking after the game. We actually won that tournament. You know, I still have my medal. But, you know, and it was just amazing because after the game, I had little kids coming up to me and, you know, calling me by name. I'm like, how does this kid know me? I'm like, oh, yeah, crap. Our names were read out before the game. You know, we played well, so these kids are now looking at us. I'm like, damn it. Imagine if back then I'd had like a brand or something, you know. But anyway, man. And then again, it happened when I moved to Japan, because in my last year, when I was still with Lion Rugby, we actually had an off-season tour, again, training camp, where we went to Ishinomaki City, which is in Miyagi Prefecture. And while we were there, that was actually when it clicked for me, when I saw how, you know, how a team builds its brand. Because when we were down there, we organized like a coaching clinic and we were coaching all these little kids. And I just remember seeing our team brand name just being displayed on all the banners. And I'm like, oh, so this is how teams build their brands and actually attract a larger fan base. It's by going on tours. Us as the players, we are the front men. We are the guys who are either playing or, you know, doing coaching, running coaching clinics. But by doing that, we're actually promoting the team's name, the team's brand. That's why it's important in how we address ourselves and how we carry ourselves, you know. But before then, I didn't understand it. But when it clicked for me like that, that's when I was like, man, this sports thing, man, it really is a business. You know, because again, the teams here in Asia are mostly, especially Japan and Hong Kong, they are affiliated with companies. In fact, the team I played for was or is owned by a company, Lion Corporation. You know, so it was a way for Lion Corporation to, again, strengthen or enhance their brand. So, yeah. That is, again, I'm going to leave you guys with this. That is the power of touring. So I won't be surprised when after Inter Miami FC tours, I mean, you've already got arguably one of the biggest players, biggest name players or retired players in David Beckham. And now you've got arguably the biggest superstar in the world that will be touring with Inter Miami FC to go play in China. Like, it doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any bigger than that. And yeah, I can't wait to hear the business opportunities that will present themselves as a result of this tour. All right. So anyway, guys, yeah, man, I just thought I would come on here and just, you know, have this discussion, you know, to talk about the Springboks and to just talk about, you know, just the business side of going on tours and how beneficial it can be for the team and for the players' own personal brands. You know, I know I've talked about it before, but I never went into it as in as much depth as I did now. So, yeah. So I come on here and have a convo with you guys. Anyway, I'll check you guys on the next episode. Again, thank you to everyone who keeps supporting the podcast, man. And you can support the podcast some more by copying our merch. As I mentioned before, we've got amazing new merch. Some of it is Japanese style inspired, you know, kanji line merch. So what's written on the t-shirts is Setsubun, which is, it represents a change of season where it's out with the negative stuff and, you know, you invite the positivity in. So that's why I wanted to have it on our, you know, Japanese style inspired merch. So have a check at that. We've got those, you know, t-shirts, man, new t-shirts available in black and in white. And then we've got other awesome, you know, Japanese inspired merch and also our traditional podcast inspired merch and sports inspired merch. So check that out, man. And other exciting things that are coming soon. I don't want to announce them yet, but yeah, we're going to come up with some game changing stuff. All right. When I'm getting in this merch business, this merch biz stuff, I'm really going in. I'm really going in. But anyway, guys, I'll see you guys on the next episode, man. You know, stay fresh, stay cool, you know, have a good day. It's a beautiful Sunday out here. It's really starting to get cold out here in Tokyo, but it is what it is. Change of seasons. Change of seasons. Take care, guys. In Japanese, we say, otsukare sama desu. Cheers. And remember our sporting slogan, man, for this podcast. We don't only talk sports. We lived it. We effing lived it. We fucking lived it. Right, today's episode is brought to you by Raw Super Drink. Raw Super Drink is an isotonic drink for athletes. It is made with organic ingredients. They use selected superfruits such as blueberries, lime, or strawberries that come from organic farms and other 100% natural ingredients such as coconut water, sea salt, and baobab. Therefore, they help you recover the electrolytes you lose when you do sport in a totally healthy way. So if you're an active individual, man, who loves to get down, loves to run, plays a lot of football, soccer, rugby, or any other sporting code or any other active, activity, I definitely recommend Raw Super Drink. They're a brand from Spain, man, so you know that, they always bring that good flavor, So if you want to find out how to get the product, I will make sure to drop the link on the description of the podcast. Without further ado, let's get back to the show.